CD 2.
I was in my room and Dad called me downstairs and asked me what I'd been up to on New Year's Eve. I went, nothing much. Well, that isn't what the newspapers seem to think. There's apparently going to be a story about you and Martin Sharp. Do you know Martin Sharp? And I was, yeah, sort of. Met him that night at a party. It was fucking Chairs, of course, who phoned up the bastard newspapers. The Jess Crichton-Martin Sharp combo. How much do you get for something like that? A couple hundred quid. To be honest, I'd have done it if I were him. I'm always skint. If he'd been worth selling up the river, he'd be halfway out to sea by now. Dad pulled back the curtain and there was someone out there. I wanted to go out and have a go at him, but Dad said they'd take a mad picture of me and I'd regret it. He said in our position we had to rise above it all. And I was like, I'm not in a position. And he went, whether you like it or not, you are in a position. He's right, I'm in a position. If I wasn't, the papers wouldn't be interested. Dad was like, you better tell me everything. And I said, there isn't much to tell. I went to this party and he was there and I had too much to drink and we went back to his place. And he was like, that's it. And I went, you don't need to know the details. Dad went, Jesus Christ, and got straight on the phone and talked to his office. And then he said he was going out and I wasn't to answer the phone or anything. He came back with a newspaper. The headline said, Martin Sharp and Shadow Minister's Daughter in Suicide Pact.
I was in my local store buying some smokes, and Jess and Martin were staring at me from the counter. I read the headline and whooped, the Education Minister! Oh, holy shit! You've got to understand, this girl talked as if she'd been brought up by, like, a penniless, junky mother. And she acted as if education was something that only the weird or the desperate would resort to. But when I read the story, it wasn't so funny. I didn't know about Jess's older sister, Jennifer. None of us did. She disappeared a few years ago when Jess was 15 and she was 18. They found her mother's car abandoned near a well-known suicide spot down on the coast. They never found a body. Jesus, if both of your kids wanted to leap to their deaths, you'd kind of wonder about your parenting skills. The next day, there was another headline. There were four of them. And in the article, there was a description of Maureen and me. There was an appeal for information and a phone number. There was even a cash reward. Maureen and I had prices in our heads, man. It was kind of gratifying in an ironic way. See, one of the things that had brought me down was my inability to leave my mark on the world through my music, which is another way of saying that I was suicidal because I wasn't famous. There was more to it than that, but that was part of it. Anyway, recognizing that I was all washed up had got me onto the front page of the newspaper. Maybe there's a lesson there somewhere. So, I was sitting in my flat, drinking coffee and smoking, taking pleasure from knowing that I was sort of famous. And then the fucking buzzer went, and I jumped out of my skin. Is that JJ? A young woman's voice. Who is it? I understand you were one of the people with Jess Crichton and Martin Sharp on New Year's Eve when they tried to kill themselves? You understand wrong, ma'am. You pressed the wrong buzzer. I don't think I did. How do you know? Because you didn't deny you were JJ? Good point. Listen, she said. Was there a reason you came down? Did Martin Sharp say anything that gave you a reason to live, for example? People would want to know if he did. Martin had called Jess a fucking idiot, but that was a spirit-lifting rather than a life-saving moment. I can't think of anything, no. I'm going to leave a card, okay? Ring me when you feel ready to talk.